Who are you? What is the source of your identity and how do you define yourself? Just think for a minute, how do you introduce yourself in a greeting when somebody comes up and says, greet you for the first time? How do you introduce yourself? Probably most of us identify ourselves by our work, what it is that we do in life. Alternatively, if we don't identify ourselves by our work, we identify ourselves by what uses the majority of our time. And so our identity really becomes what we do. Additionally, there is the question of how we feel about ourselves. The constant messages that we should lose weight, improve our appearance, exercise more, do this or that. And often even messages that we should experience, you know, you should travel or you should enjoy these benefits or this experience in life. And the messages say that we won't really be happy until we achieve those things, until we look good, until we're fit and able-bodied, until we do all these different things. At the same time, we're told that we can do and be anything we want. And it really ends up giving us mixed messages, which often leave us unsatisfied. The world measures our worth by competence and appearance, achievement and productivity. And the reality is that those measurements are done in comparison to other people. No wonder the pressure to get ahead leaves us competing against each other. But the truth is that we are part of this countercultural kingdom of God. If this is our primary culture, the kingdom of God is our primary culture, then we take our identity from the kingdom of God, not the world. So that means that we move from finding our self-esteem and our value in the world system to finding our self-esteem and value in the kingdom system. According to the world, that is all measured through productivity, accomplishment, competition, and doing. But in the kingdom of God, it is given to us as a gift from God, pure gift, grace, love, being. So our identity is in being a child of God. It is who we are, not what we do. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with Christ. So the very truth is that we don't earn this identity in God. It is simply a gift of being. We are created uniquely and given place in this world. And the gift isn't of our doing, nor do our efforts improve it. We simply are the children of God. And you can't work harder to make yourself more a child of God. You simply are a child of God. We are human beings, not human doings. Although sometimes we act more like human doings. When Moses asked God what his name was, when God was telling him to go and to free the slaves in Egypt, Moses said, "What do I tell them? Who do I tell them sent me?" And God said, "Tell them I am sent you." I am. God identified himself as I am. I am in this present moment. He didn't say I will be or I was, but I am in this present moment now. I am. And the truth is that we are made in God's image. So we are also beings in the present moment. And when we stay in this present moment, that's where we can find God, where we can connect with God. But we so easily shift from the present to either the past or the future. Oh my, I didn't do it right. I should have. Why didn't I? What if I had chosen a different path? We have a long list of what ifs. I wish something about the past. But then there's the future. I worry about, if only, will it be okay? Can I do it? Will I be able? And so we often live in this kind of yin-yang between the past and the future. And the invitation from God is to stay in the present moment. Because that's where God is. That's where he identified himself to be when he said, "I am." We also shift so easily from being in this present space, from being to doing. We often are driven to keep busy. In fact, how often do you find yourself answering the "how are you" question with something like, "I'm really busy," or "I'm keeping busy," or "there's lots to do," or "lots on my plate," but rather than simply speaking to "how are you?" And we often act as if there is inherent value in being busy, that somehow we're better people if we're busy. And we talk about people that are lazy as if it's not a good thing to sit and contemplate. And I realize that I struggle this. When there's downtime, I don't sit and just contemplate easily. I pick up things to do. I'm reading Facebook on my phone, or I'm picking up something to read or something to do, or wanting to go someplace or work on a project or do something. So this is a good lesson for me that I do need to rest in this place of being. But it's a challenge to center ourselves in our being, to this place of being in the kingdom of God, to being a child of God. It's a process of letting go of the world's messages of how to attain value and purpose in our lives. And then we simply sink into this deep well of the presence of God. A deep well which we can stay in and rest in. And in that place, we find our purpose not so much in the things that we accomplish, but in being with God. Moving from a base of doing to a sense of being is really difficult for some of us, particularly for those of us who find joy in doing. But it isn't the doing that gives us value. Rather, I think that the joy of doing is an expression of our being. Some of us are wired to find joy in doing. That is very true, and that's actually okay. But it's wired... Some of us are wired to find joy in our being, in being in the present moment. And so we're much more comfortable with this kind of contemplative place, with being present, with listening. Some of us are wired for that, in being present to others And our being is expressed in our thoughts or in discernment or in listening, in those kind of inner ways of being present to each other. But others of us find our joy expressed through our doing. But this kind of doing is very different in that it flows with joy out of us. When a person is a doing person that finds joy in doing, when it flows from the center, it's very different than the busy, frantic, I've got to keep busy, I've got to do something, what do I do next? Where there's a little downtime, pick up this, pick up that. But that sense of who I am and the joy of who I am being expressed in my doing is really a real thing for many of us. The truth is that it isn't self-serving, but rather it's this flow of doing that serves others. And in this way, who we are and what we do flows from the center of our being. And that's a different way of doing than the kind of doing we often get caught up in. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I really think that joy is the new expression of living life in the kingdom of God. You know, the world is searching for happiness, this elusive happiness, and it's trying to find it. I want to be happy, and what will make me happy? Maybe if I do this, or if I have more money, or if I have more something that's out there often. And in searching for that and grabbing hold of it, it tends to hoard it in the hope that it will be enough. But this happiness is dependent upon everything going well and feeling good about it. Feeling like life is going down a path that feels good to me. So what happens when things don't go well? What happens when we don't get the job that we've been praying for? What happens when it takes a lot longer, when a stroke hits, when the recovery doesn't happen as fast as we had thought it would? When we're not able to do the thing we feel called to be about and to do, and something stops us. The truth is that the kingdom of God never promises happiness. In fact, in the passage of Scripture, Jesus said that we would suffer just as He did, that there will be those hard times, that that's true. But while our being is solidly centered in the kingdom of God and we take value in that, we learn that we can meet any obstacle with Jesus at our side. And while the circumstances may be difficult, we aren't alone. And that even if my body dies, I win in that I live with Christ. So finding this center of being in the kingdom of God means that we can live with joy. And joy is one of the signs of the kingdom of God. When we read in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things are how we live out the Spirit in our lives. And as we are filled with the Spirit, that's the evidence of it that flows out of us. So joy is a byproduct of the trusting, adoring presence that we have towards God. And that we give to God in every single circumstance, even when it seems like things aren't going really well. That we choose to trust, just as Jan prayed for Dove and for John. That we stand with you, Dove and John, in trusting with you that God is with you and that God will lead you step by step. Jesus has given us His joy, and in that we can live. Right in the middle of John 15, where Jesus is talking about abiding in Him and being His friends and these kinds of things, John 15 is a favorite passage for many of us. Jesus says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So as we rest in the presence of God, as we abide in God and center ourselves in being present to God, this joy that is not the same as happiness, but that comes from a different center, that comes from being with God, is allowed to rise and be in us. In claiming this newfound identity as a gift from God, we find our place in the kingdom of God. We are now called children of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we share equally in the inheritance of the full kingdom of God. We're not like stepchildren or brothers and sisters or somebody that's kind of over here on the edge of the kingdom of God. I mean, Jesus, he's like the real deal. And we're over here and we kind of get the crumbs that fall off the table and we wander around. No, we are joint heirs with Jesus. We are participants of the full kingdom of God. And all the resources of the kingdom of God are ours and fully available to everyone. To be a joint heir with Christ means that everything Christ had, we have. Everything Christ had, we have. Everything that Christ had, we have. Yet we often live as if we don't deserve it. We live impoverished and withdrawn. And that's not mine. I was told, after I went on a cruise, I was told a story about someone that went on a cruise, and when they got a couple, and when they got home, other people said, "Did you enjoy the lavish food?" And they said, "Oh no, we didn't want to partake of that. We packed our lunches because it was too lavish to eat all that food, and it's expensive," and not realizing that it had been paid for. Now, I think that's probably a made-up story. But I think that's sometimes how we live the kingdom of God. We live as if it's not really ours to partake of. If the kingdom of God is this wonderful, that we don't get to live in the fullness of the kingdom of God because somehow we don't deserve it. And Jesus is our joint heir. We are brothers and sisters with Christ. We are children of God. And we live fully in the kingdom of God. And Jesus delights in lavishing his joy and his love and his grace over us. And welcoming us into the kingdom and walking with us, living with us, playing with us, having fun with us, celebrating life with us. If the kingdom of God is now, the inheritance of God is now as well. We aren't joint heirs with God, meaning that we will eventually live with God someday, way out there in the by and by, when I finally die. But we have our inheritance now. We live fully into everything that God has for us now. It is God's gift. Said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God that is now is ours. God so desires that we live fully into it. And I'm so grateful for a community that says, yes, we do live in the kingdom of God. And we participate fully in the kingdom of God as we listen and are faithful to be in the presence of God. Let's wait in open worship as we listen to God who is present and who delights in leading us step by step and welcoming this daily, intimate joining with Him in the presence of God. May we wait and listen for God's voice.